Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, it's me again. This is Steve Mileto with Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12. And here I am with Dr. Larry Cuban. We're up in Athens. He's just presented before the State of Education Conference at the University of Georgia. And so, Dr. Cuban, welcome. Thanks for joining me. And I was wondering if you could just start by telling us about yourself.
I've been in education for almost 5 decades. I began as a teacher of history and social studies, and worked in Cleveland for a number of years, then went to Washington, D.C. And then I left the classroom for a short time and became an administrator training returned high school volunteers to learn how to teach in Washington, D.C. And that proved quite successful in that the D.C. schools took over the program after the federal funding dried up. That was all in the 1960s and early 70s. After that, I went back to teaching, and I began writing. I wrote a number of books. I did a number of textbooks on U.S. history. And then I wanted to I went back into D.C. school administration and became the first director of staff development in the D.C. schools. That was fun and great, but the politics defeated me in many ways, so I went back to teaching. I've gone back and forth between teaching and administration for over 20 years. At one point, my family, my wife and I, decided that if I wanted to go do something else in education, I needed a doctorate. So I got accepted to Stanford, and they gave me a full ride, which was great. And I took my wife and 2 daughters, and we spent a few years at Stanford. I got a PhD, and then I applied for superintendencies. I wanted to become a superintendent. I wrote my dissertation on superintendents, and I got turned down 50 times.
Oh, my goodness.
And the 51st accepted me. That was
wow.
Arlington, Virginia. It was a great experience for me. It stretched me a great deal, and I was there for 7 years. And after that, I returned to Stanford, and I stayed at Stanford from 1981 to 2001. And I was a professor there and a researcher. I loved teaching, and I did a lot of writing. I wrote a number of books about teaching, curriculum, leadership, and technology, all within a historical framework. And I retired in 2001, and I've been writing and teaching ever since.
Excellent, thank you. Today in your talk, one of the things that you said was you said that teachers and principals are a critical resource. I was wondering if you could kind of elaborate on what you were talking about.
Sure. What I talked about today was the journey that goes from policy to a classroom. And a lot of policymakers and a lot of people don't really fully understand how many links there are in that chain. When a policy comes out of Atlanta or out of Washington, D.C., and is supposed to apply to everyone, a lot of people don't understand that there's a whole bunch of links that end up in a classroom. So I wanted to talk about macro policy and micro practice, meaning the classroom. So I talked a lot about that and how policymakers seldom distinguish between policy talk, talking about what is important, what ought to be done, what the problems are, the policy adoption, buying new computers, having an elected school board, adopting Common Core standards, and then implementation. Implementation is the weakest link in the policymaker thinking about classrooms. They really don't spend as much time on implementation, and that's where teachers and principals come into the picture.
Gotcha.
And so I spent a lot of time in the talk today about the importance of implementation and how often it's neglected or that policymakers are unaware of it.
Gotcha. So tell me when you've written lots of works, and when I was working on my dissertation, my doctoral study, Bill Raga introduced us to technology and education, and talking about how education, there's always these people who said that technology is going to change education, but you've written lots of different books. I was wondering if you have one particular work that you're more fond of than the others.
There's a couple that I have a great deal of affection for. One is How Teachers Taught, and it's the history of teaching between the late 19th century, the 1880s, 1890s, and the 1980s and 1990s. And I gathered together photos, student descriptions of their teachers, teacher diaries.
My goodness.
And a whole bunch of other documents. I was in archives and everything in four different cities. And it was the work that both exhausted and exhilarated me. And so I have a great deal of affection. It was first published in 1984, and then the second edition came out in 1993. So it's 20 years, the second edition is 20 years old. And I have no appetite to revise it or anything like that, but I have a lot of affection for it. The second one is with a colleague by the name of David Tyack, and we wrote Tinkering Toward Utopia.
Yes, I love the book.
He is a good friend of mine. He was once my advisor when I was at Stanford, and we then became good friends and bicycling companions for many years, and still are great friends now. And that book, one of the virtues of that book is that it's short. It can be read in one evening if someone is so inclined. But it pulled together our ideas about the history of school reform. And the title is David's, and I thought it was, I still think it's a one of the best titles of a book. I have a great amount of affection for that. And then the third one is a book on technology that I wrote 30 years ago called Teachers and Machines.
Ah.
And it takes the history of technology in schools from the film.
Yes.
Thomas Edison was very interested in making a lot of money out of school films, to the radio in schools, to instructional television, to the computer. And I trace these cycles of enormous enthusiasm about how each of these technologies is going to transform teaching and learning. And I finished writing the book in 1984. So that's just when computers were coming in.
Wow.
So those are three books.
With the works that you've done, do you have someone that you like to read it, or someone that you're reading now, or someone that you like their focus on what they're doing?
I read a lot of historians of education. John Zimmerman, who's at NYU. Ron Butchart, who's here, read his stuff. Diane Ravitch, I'm reading right now. But to be honest, Steve, I read a lot of crime novels.
Crime novels? Excellent, excellent.
Because for a number of reasons. I have one is that it's trying to figure out what happened and why something happened.
Gotcha.
And the why something happened is what historians try to explain.
Oh, excellent. Yes. I like that. I'm a Lee Child fan also, with Jack Reacher, so I like
that. Yeah, Lee Child. I'm not as enthusiastic about, but I understand why people are enthusiastic about it.
Well, that's excellent. One of the things I want to, as we finish up, one of the things that I wanted to ask you is, in the talk today, what would be one thing that you would hope someone might take away? Because I know you started by saying, I'm not trying to inspire you, I'm not trying to give you advice, but here's what we're going to talk about. And what is there one thing that you would like them to at least have heard out of what came out?
Sure. I would like a couple things. One is to compare metaphors. The metaphor of a chain of command, links in a chain, which is very popular now and has always been among top policymakers, that there is a command and control. And then the metaphor of the hurricane. A lot of talk and everything, a lot of waves on the top. But on the bottom of the ocean, on the ocean floor, the teachers, students, and curriculum come together. And I'd like them to think about those two metaphors when they think about Common Core, when they think about No Child Left Behind, and the importance of implementation, and how teachers and principals are central to implementation, and how usually after a policy is adopted, there is much less concern or resources invested in the putting things into practice.
Gotcha. In closing, one of the things I want to know is that I know that you write a blog.
Yes.
And so if some of my listeners wanted to come find you, where do they find you in the blog world?
Just have them Google Larry Cuban at WordPress, and they'll get it.
Okay. Well, super. I greatly appreciate you spending time today. I enjoyed talking with you. And just as a note, I used the book with you and David Tyack with some of my assistant principals. I had them read that in leadership teams. So they had a little understanding of history and the reforms and so forth that have happened, and had a little background in it. So that's been used in other than just in classes and so forth.
Well,
so I want to share that
with
you.
Thank you, Steve, for that. And thank you for taking the time for the podcast.
Thank you so much, Larry. Appreciate it.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the heart of Georgia Precinct.